I'm Anjali Kerber, and this is Inside the US Open.
On this episode of Inside the US Open.
Hey, Billy, can you get us a bag of black jelly beans?
Like licorice.
And, you know, what was I going to say? No, so I bought five bags of regular jelly beans and picked out the black ones and gave him the black jelly beans.
No way.
The mind has to be open, mind has to be also relaxed and rested enough to be able to execute everything on the court. That's most important.
You know, I think a lot of people come here thinking, okay, I'll go to the concession stand, I'll get a hot dog. And what they don't realize until they get here is, holy cow, I'm not just getting like a hot dog, I'm getting an awesome hot dog, or I'm getting a David Chang fried chicken sandwich.
Hey everyone, it's episode 2 of Inside the US Open. I'm Nick McCarville, and again, we're giving you a behind-the-scenes tour of all the inner workings of the US Open. On this episode, it's all about food. We hope you're hungry, and we first talk to Chef Billy, who's in charge of everything involved with player dining. And then we talk to 2014 champion Marin Cilic. He had a couple burgers placed in front of him during the interview. Does he eat them? We're going to find that out. And finally, we sit down with a chef named Jennifer Cox. She oversees all of the food that's served to you, the fans, out on the grounds of the US Open. But first, it's Chef Billy talking about all the inner workings of his kitchen and how he gets ready for the players here at the US Open.
A lot of players, they're looking for fermented foods this year for their digestion and just for more powerful foods. And so we have a lot of pickled vegetables. We're pickling some fruits. They're eating mango like crazy. Last year, the trend was like avocado on gluten-free bread with sprouts and seeds. Not this year. This year, it's fermented foods, pickled foods, and lots of mango and papaya, which is like a lot of enzyme going on in the papaya. It's all for better digestion, believe it or not.
Yeah, it surprised me first off to hear you say mango, but tell me about just the overall operation that you guys run, because player dining, I think when fans imagine it, maybe they just think of a normal cafeteria, but it's a little more nuanced for you and your staff than that.
Yeah, all fresh fish. Everything is, you know, we try to keep it as local as possible. So a lot of Long Island, Block Island, Rhode Island fish coming in, summertime. All of our veggies are definitely local. Jersey, Pennsylvania, Long Island. You know, we definitely, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk with that. Getting back to the players, you know, they're here for power food. They're here to win. Then, you know, if they want to dine out, you know, they can go to their favorite restaurants in the off season. But when they come see me in players dining, it's about foods to give them the energy to win some tennis matches. They're, you know, that's what they're here for.
So when you look back at the 15 years that you've been here at the US Open on tour, as a tennis fan, as a journalist, I've noticed so much. Diets have become so important. Tell me what's changed in those 5, 10, 15 years you've been around.
Well, the first thing is every player has a team. Years ago, they came with their brother. They tried to win some money, and off they went. Well, now I'll tell you one thing. Their attire is busy. They have beautiful clothing, and more people are on their team. They have a nutritionist. They have some have chefs. Some come with a swing coach, a regular coach, a dietitian. It's a bunch of people. It's not just one. Now put all those people into the mix, and everybody has their own philosophy on how a player should eat to win. So we have to listen to everybody and then put a formula together to get it to be like that team is happy with what we're cooking. Basically fresh fish done simply, a little, you know, a squeeze of lemon, a squeeze of lime, lightly seasoned, and a good olive oil would be pretty good of what they're eating. Ancient grains, a lot of quinoa, you know, a lot of grains that is, you know, is a solid protein. Sorghum, they love that because, you know, they want some protein. Tons of edamame, which is soybean, which is also a protein. Almonds, lots of nuts. So, you know, good food prepared simply, but tasty with some textures.
Yeah, I feel like I always see the players or hear about the players eating a lot of sushi. So it doesn't surprise me that much to hear you say fish, but you're doing cooked fish and I'm guessing raw fish too, right?
Yeah, you know, great, you know, Morimoto's on site, you know, great sushi chef from, you know, all, you know, Iron Chef Morimoto. Well, his team is here and, you know, he makes all of our sushi in the players' lounge. So, you know, good salmon, really good hamachi, amazing tuna, toro, which is the belly of the tuna, the fattiest of them all, you know, and just amazing fresh fish comes in every day, butchered fresh in the morning, served, you know, tomorrow fresh again, rice made every hour, amazing sushi.
Now, we won't name names, but obviously there's players who, as you said, travel with nutritionists and dietitians and people. So how do you work with people individually? I'm sure you guys get a lot of special requests coming in and saying, hey, we've got this, we want to do that. How do you make sure you try to appease the players that way?
The first thing is, this is the end of the tour. Their tour started in January. So it's been a long ride to get here. They're tired. It's New York City. It's busy. So I just sit back and listen, and I draw up a game plan to accommodate everybody. And usually I let them speak, but it always comes down to fresh protein, grains, fresh vegetables, you know, lightly seasoned, squeeze a lemon, something like that. No butter, no fat, very little olive oil, you know, because of the caloric intake. But at the end of the day, basically they're all eating the grains, the proteins, and great vegetables.
And, you know, obviously it's been well publicized that a lot of tennis players, notably Novak Djokovic, who isn't here this year, but go gluten-free. And so is that something that you've seen the past few years of less gluten consumed, or is that maybe a myth when you look at the entire tour?
It's funny you say that, only because a lot of players say, hey, I'm not allergic to gluten, but I'd rather not have it. I'm not celiac, but Billy, can you do something without gluten? Just because, you know, I'd rather not have it while I'm on tour and while I'm working, which is playing tennis. So, yeah, we have gluten-free pizza dough. We have gluten-free soy sauce. We have gluten-free pasta. We have a gluten-free toaster for the gluten-free bread. So, you know, we're up with the times, and they appreciate that. And we have a gluten-free cutting board to cut the pizza, you know. So we're on it. We're on this. We recognize their needs, and we take it very serious.
So then tell me, because you've got players from all over the world. You've got players from Asia, players from Europe, Australia, from South America, from North America. Are you trying to make sure that you've got different types of foods for those players that they've got access to whenever you're open?
You know, I have rice ready at 6:30 in the morning, brown and white. You know, you have to have the rice. You have to have, you know, in the morning, people eat differently around the world. You know, so we have vegetables ready in the morning. We have fish ready in the morning. Then we have our eggs. And you don't think they would eat bacon, but, you know, they'll sneak a piece here and there. You know what I mean? Which is great because, you know, we go through some bacon here and, you know, people just can't stop themselves from grabbing a piece of bacon.
That actually reminds me. So if you had to say one thing that people indulge in, what's one indulgence in your kitchen?
Right now, I would say fish is what they're eating. Like every station has some sort of fish on it. So, and you know, we always get fresh fish in every day. And at the end of the day, we just barely make it. In other words, we have enough fish. You know, we don't want to have anything left over. So we kind of just make it. And so number one thing would be fish, lots of protein, chicken, a lot of vegetables. In the morning time, we do a sunrise grain blend hot cereal that seems to be a big mover, and that's new this year. So we'll probably continue with that next year, only because at the end of the breakfast is no more of that sunrise grain blend cereal. It's hot. It's a hot cereal. Not, you know, just made with water and a tiny, tiny pinch of salt. It's funny. Players ask for a little extra salt, too. You know, you would think that they would watch their sodium intake, but, you know, they're sweating so much, especially, you know, when, you know, it's the end of the summer, August, New York City, it's kind of hot. So they want a pinch of extra salt and everything.
Okay, especially in the early going of the U.S. Open, you've got hundreds of players here, hours of operation and how you sort of function just as, I mean, you think of it as a restaurant, but how do you make sure that you're giving them what they want when they want it?
Well, one thing, we watch the draw, is and you have to watch matches too, but, you know, we open in the players' lounge at 7:30, but we're there at 5:30. It takes about 2 hours to get breakfast done correctly. So much fruit, so much vegetables. All the hot cereals, you know, all the grains. We have a grain salad on the salad bar along with tons of, you know, all different types of fruits, including like dried dates. You know, you'd be surprised. Dried dates go here. Might not go anywhere else, but they want that. that sugar, they're looking for some calories. They're going to burn a lot of calories. And then we serve till 8:30, but then we also take orders for players that are know that their matches will be late. It's almost like a room service where we'll feed them in their locker room, and we'll have people bring them the food that we'll be cooking to order after their matches. But for the most part, we're 7:30 to 8:30. We never say no to a player. If they're walking in and it's 8:30, we're still open.
Okay, now again, we're not going to name names here with Chef Billy, obviously, but if you tell me one crazy request or one crazy story that you've had 15 years now at the U.S. Open, you've been heading up, what is this, your fourth year? I'm sure you've gotten a couple crazy requests.
I had a 3 a.m. text for black jelly beans.
Black jelly beans.
Like, hey, Billy, can you get us a bag of black jelly beans? Like licorice. And, what was I going to say? No, so I bought five bags of regular jelly beans and picked out the black ones and gave them the black jelly beans.
No way.
And they took them and thanked me like it was nothing. Cans of Ocean Spray cranberry sauce. We make our own cranberry sauce here. This particular player wanted the Nunberry Smooth Ocean Spray cranberry sauce for their turkey. We carve turkey every day.
Wow, that's a lot of love from you, Chef Billy, to do that for the players.
And then here's your can of I open it up for him and put it on a plate, but it's a can of cranberry sauce.
Okay, so now I was surprised. We're gonna close up this chat here with you, Chef Billy, but I was surprised to hear you say mango as kind of the it food this year. Yeah. What else is that? Sort of the one thing that surprised you the most? Last year you said it was avocado, right?
Avocado. This year definitely mango. The funny thing with mango is that it never really comes in ripe, so we have to purchase a lot of it to let it ripen on site. So to keep it ripe and beautiful is a little trick. You just can't get a couple cases of mango in here and start peeling and serving. So we're a couple of days out on the mango. So right now I have 30, 40 cases of mango on hand, just making sure they're ripe. We date each box. We date each box so we know where we're at. And then when it's perfectly ripe, we peel it, we cut it, and we put it out. And I can tell you right now, it's just crazy. And we also have a papaya mango salsa for all of our seared fish on the plancha. So, I just think they love that summer, tart, sweet mango. And then that papaya has that enzyme in it. They're all worrying about digestion now, the fermented foods. And papaya enzyme is so healthy for everybody. So they're killing it dead with papaya, mango, kiwi. A lot of fresh fruit.
I feel like I sort of keep thinking of things to ask you. This is the last thing I want to know. You guys, you're talking about the crates of food. Obviously, you want to locally source or do as much as you can to bring in local food. But how do you prep that way? And do you talk to any of the other tennis tournaments around the world to understand what sort of is in trend or what they're doing in their kitchens?
Well, we don't talk to them. We just spy on them. You know what I mean? No, we look at the French, the Australian, and Wimbledon, and we realize what they're doing too. Let's face it, pasta here, carbs is huge. So, we have a great pasta station. And so does the other other three majors too. But what we try to do is just, try to catch a notch above so we could be a little bit different. Because at the end of the tour, all these players are tired. They're tired. They want to go home. So we try to make it like this is their home. We understand what's going on here. So you have a home here at the Open, and we'll try to just, adapt to whatever you need to make sure that you're happy while you're here.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for letting us hang out in one of your food prep areas.
No problem.
And also, I want at some point to come have some mango and fish in
no
your kitchen.
No problem. It's like I said, breakfast ends at 10:30, lunch starts at 11. You're more than welcome to join us.
All right. Thanks so much, Chef Billy.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
We're talking more about food at the U.S. Open a little bit later, but for now, let's check in with 2014 U.S. Open champion Marin Cilic. He's had an injury this season, so we see how his body is feeling, and actually, he's the most recent men's champion here at the U.S. Open with both Novak Djokovic and Stan Wawrinka out of the tournament. Let's hear what Marin had to say.
So far, it's going well. Enjoying my time back in New York, and always a pleasure to come back. Definitely one of the best, biggest cities in the world, and always a huge excitement, especially knowing that I played so well in the past, and now looking forward to another year.
Now, for you, a little bit of a strange feeling because you won here in 2014, but we're missing our 2015 and 16 champion. So, in a sense, you're our most recent champion.
The defending champion, yeah, for 2017, yeah, and the last 3 years as well. Yeah, it was a little bit of a roller coaster with the injuries now during the last several months. A lot of top 10 guys dropping out, a lot of them also skipping all the tournaments until the end of the year, and maybe that's gonna clear the path for defending champions for this year too, so we'll see. But it's gonna be definitely again exciting tournament. A lot of great players still in a great form. Rafa, Roger, also youngsters from team, and Zverev, and a lot of them coming up as well. So definitely another great year for a tournament.
Now, you had a great win. Congratulations on making the final at Wimbledon. Your back's been giving you a little bit of problem this summer. Tell me how you're feeling health-wise.
Health-wise, good. It's always tough when you just make a good result, great result, get in a great form, and then you have to go back a step with the injury, try to get back to the good form as soon as you can, and that's what I did. And now it's my first tournament after Wimbledon. Hopefully I'm gonna get in a good form in those first couple matches, get through them, and get that most needed match practice to get to the good form.
How do you, when you have an injury like that, how do you sort of mentally, do you have a different approach to those first couple of rounds? Because it's not easy now with the talent level that we see at the Grand Slams. You're not able to work your way into a tournament.
Well, obviously you have to get ready mentally a little bit better than usually. Usually you are just with tennis mind, with you are a little bit more confident that on the court you're going to produce things you've been producing in past weeks. But for me now it's just a little bit of a different approach. Mentally I'm going to have to be a little bit more careful and be a little bit more mentally stronger in those first matches to keep my focus in a good way and try to make it simple as much as I can.
Now, for you, this win 3 years ago, obviously, I know you want to follow it up perhaps with more Grand Slams, but tell me how your life changed after winning the U.S. Open in 2014. You got a little more attention, right?
Yeah, I did. I did get a little more attention, and it's something that all players are looking for. But the biggest change happened to me in my tennis mind, in my mind in approaching the practices, and also I also changed maybe my mentality in what I can to achieve in my career. Up to that point, I have never reached the final of Grand Slam. I never felt that my game is as good as it can be. And then after that win, obviously a lot of windows of opportunity came up, opened up, and now it's a different world. I'm looking at every Grand Slam in a different way. I'm looking when I'm coming to the Grand Slam that I'm going to be able to win it, and that's extremely positive, extremely important for my own game, and I'm more focused on myself rather than all the opponents.
And Marin, for you, having reached that Wimbledon final, I know that you want to get back to another Grand Slam final, have the chance to win. What did you learn from that experience that you want to apply to your tennis moving forward?
I think in the weeks prior to Wimbledon, I reached my most consistent form ever, and I was playing really good on the grass court season, clay court season as well, and that's what something I've been working on for a while, and that's my aim for the rest of my career, to try to play that consistent and try to play on that level week after week, and with that I'm definitely going to be a contender for many tournaments.
We just had some cheeseburgers come into the room. You can smell them, right?
I can. They smell nice.
But are you eating cheeseburgers sometimes?
I'm not eating them. I don't know when was my last cheeseburger that I had. I think Indian Wells, in and out.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You got to try Shake Shack here in New York City.
Yeah, I might.
Now, tell me, last couple things. Walking on to Arthur Ashe Stadium, 20 years we're celebrating at that stadium this year. It's different than any other court in the world, right?
It is. I think, the biggest that we have in tennis. And especially now with the roof, I think it's going to be even more louder, more acoustic. I think when the fans are going to get into it, especially for the night match, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think it's going to be a thrilling experience for all of us, for the players and for the fans too.
All right. And lastly, when you come into a Grand Slam, is it different in a sense? I mean, I know there's so much attention and, you know, we ask you to do all these media things and you've got a lot of obligation, but how do you keep it, I think, simple for you and your tennis to be able to play your best on court?
You try to focus on the things when you come to the court. The mind has to be open, mind has to be also relaxed and rested enough to be able to execute everything on the court. That's most important. The problem is if you are becoming tired and tired, and that all these things around you are making you not perform as well, then that's a difficulty. But otherwise, I've been quite relaxed with all the things that I had to do during my career, and I think for the Grand Slams, my mental approach is just slightly better than on the other tournaments. Maybe I'm just trying to be a little bit more focused and prepare mentally a bit better.
All right. Thank you to our pseudo defending champion, Marin Cilic. Best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so Marin Cilic did not bite on the burger that was put in front of him, but he may have if it was one of the prime burgers served here at the U.S. Open. And we've got just the woman to talk about the dining experience for you, the fans. Chef Jennifer Cox oversees all of that. And first I asked her, what's new about dining here in 2017?
The food in 2017 for the fans is so awesome. We have so many more local chefs involved in the Open. One of the nice things that we've tried to do over the years is to evolve the Open so that we can bring a bit of New York to the Open. We have so many fans and guests that come from all over the world, all over the country, but all over the world. So it's not just a national event. It's not just a New York event. It's an international event. And so we have a lot of pride in what's happening here, not only in our country, but specifically in New York. So we've introduced in the past, we've had David Burke for quite some time as a chef partner in one of our sit-down restaurants at Champions. We have Morimoto doing sushi for us in Aces. We have Josh Capon now has a concession stand. Marcus Samuelson is involved with us. The list is so long that it's honestly, it's hard to keep track, right? We have Tony Montuano who comes in from Chicago. Levy Restaurants is based in Chicago, so we bring some of our own home in here, but hugely popular at Wine Bar Food, doing a pop-up restaurant this year, which is, I don't even think it's open yet today. It's so fresh and so new. And so I think what we're trying to offer fans is that awesome restaurant style experience in an environment where you just would not expect it. You know, I think a lot of people come here thinking, okay, I'll go to the concession stand, I'll get a hot dog. And what they don't realize until they get here is, holy cow, I'm not just getting like a hot dog, I'm getting an awesome hot dog, or I'm getting a David Chang fried chicken sandwich, or I'm getting a Pat LaFreda awesome hamburger,
yes,
or,
I've had those.
You know, right? And so it's offering everybody this incredible dining experience. Mm. So they're not just enjoying the tennis.
So now you were telling me you've done 7 Opens, and maybe, I don't know if those have been consecutive, but for you, compared to the first U.S. Open you did, when you walk in the gates imagining yourself as a fan, so much has changed, I'm guessing, food-wise, in those 7 years.
Yeah, so much has changed. This will be my 7th U.S. Open, and I can't even believe how much it's changed. I mean, seriously, we at Levy Restaurants used to literally run the stands. You know, we had a hot dog stand and we sold hamburgers and we did a great job. You know, we had a crepe stand or we had a stand that sold. We evolved our second year that I was here. Now, you know, we did other things before that, but the second year that I was here, we did a farm to fork stand. And at the time, that was really innovative and really awesome. When you jump ahead 7 years, the landscape is totally different. I mean, let's not forget that we've had an incredible amount of construction and new buildings go up and fresh looks on all of the stands. So you can't take away from the cosmetic stuff that has made it physically look different. But what has made it truly different are the food offerings. You know, I think that we are moving into a realm of, instead of offering 150 things in a stand where you're trying to please every single person, each stand stays true to its own personality and offers maybe 3 or 6 things, all of which are done with tremendous excellency. And I think that's the difference. We've taken the mindset of what happens in I'm air quoting right now, yeah. But you can't see air quotes on a podcast, but they're there. So chink, chink, air quote. We're taking what people perceive as concessions and making them restaurants. They just happen to be restaurants where you walk up and order your food and sit down wherever you want.
Well, because I remember 6-7 years ago, that farm to stand, and I remember, oh, wow, local salads and that kind of stuff. But now I'm working on Grandstand this year, and we've got tacos and juice press and Lavazza coffee and, you know, chicken, very nice chicken sandwiches. It really is sort of stepping into New York, not only for the New Yorkers who come out of here food-wise, but for, as you said, people from all over the world.
Right. So there's, you know, you try... It's really hard as a restaurateur, and when I look at the Open, I feel like it's just one big restaurant of lots of different venues, right? It's hard to be all things to all people. Mm. So what you try to do is you try to find the, and I hesitate to say trends, because sometimes I think that puts the wrong frame of mind around it, but you try to find the things that are resonating with people, and you want to make sure that you are speaking to those resonating themes, so that people feel like they're getting something for their dollar. You know, it's not inexpensive to travel. It's not inexpensive to get yourself from here to there. It's not, and so you want to offer things that have value to our fans, that are game changers, that make them feel pampered and attended to, and as if they are having a really exceptionally unique experience. And I feel like year over year in the last 7 years, we have built on that and are really achieving that in our public facing spaces. Yeah.
So I'm going to put it to you, and I'm going to give you a buffer question to think of this, but what's the dish you're most excited about if you were a fan this year at the US Open? You can think.
Okay.
Now, also, our listeners are going to hear some background noise because we're actually in the president's suite right now, and you guys are getting ready for another day.
Yeah.
So you also, Levy, runs all of the suite stuff here at the US Open.
Yeah.
So we're here, and tell me a little bit about what you do behind the scenes, because we were talking to Chef Billy about what he does for the players.
Uh-huh.
So there's a whole nother level of the suites and the VIPs here at the US Open.
My specific role here at the Open is to run the food and beverage operation for the president's suite. And I usually explain to people, I'm talking about the president of the US Tennis Association, okay? Not the other president. So the president of the US Tennis Association is a woman named Katrina Adams. And this is her, actually, it's a 2-year term. This is her second 2-year term, which is unique in and of itself. So I'm very fortunate because I've been in the suite. This is my fifth season doing it. So I've experienced two presidents, and both are very different, but really it's fun for me because I get to tailor my menu to suit their whims and preferences. And we offer here lunch and dinner every day for about 300 people twice a day. So 300 people at lunch, 300 people dinner. And those of you that are on the air cannot see the room, but it's not huge.
No.
And if you saw the kitchen, it is even less huge. And we have a chef's table. So we have a beautiful chef's table and a huge dessert buffet. And we serve the guests that are invited to the suite. So the people that come to the area that I oversee are not paying guests. They are invited guests. These are special guests of the president and the board members of the U.S. Tennis Association. So it's a pretty sweet little gig, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have celebrities like Alec Baldwin, Katie Kirk,
yep,
Martha Stewart, Anna Wintour. I mean, there's a lot of VIPs that come through this area.
There are a lot of VIPs. I mean, I tell a funny story every year. I get to see Tony Bennett every year. A lot of people get to see him in concert. I actually get to cook for him every year. And he actually said to me last year, he said, boy, they just keep letting us come back to this thing, don't they?
Yeah.
And so it's fun. It's really nice. And people are so gracious and so just so lovely and complimentary. And it inspires us. And I say us because I have a nice crew that works with me in the kitchen. I don't do this all by myself. But we start planning for this event the day, like literally we're planning for next year now.
Wow.
So every time we do a meal, we think about what could we do next year differently in that one meal period. Because we serve about 17 different menu items on the table, on the chef's table for lunch and for dinner.
Right.
And so it's, you know, it's kind of awesome.
It's kind of a big deal.
It's kind of a, you know, I'm kind of a big deal. Yeah. No.
Okay, so I put it to
totally
you as...
Totally kidding.
I mean, you're a big deal in the sense of you're feeding thousands of people that come through the gates as well. I put it to you a minute ago, favorite dish this year at the U.S. Open?
You know, it's funny. I get to really experience the concessions areas and the food village before the Open really starts, you know, before it gets in full gear, because once I'm up in the suite, I'm so busy, I don't even have time. So I got a chance to try everything. And I have to say, probably my favorite thing, I love a good burger. I just do. I really, really love our burger. I think it's really awesome. The beef is good. It has nice cheese on it. It's on an awesome brioche bun. It's probably my single favorite thing.
Very, very good. And actually, when we walked in for this interview, you were opening a bag of what were those?
Oh, my gosh. So Katrina Adams, who is the president of USTA, her sort of signature thing, I guess, or her icon is a butterfly.
Right.
And so she has a really beautiful little tattoo on her shoulder. I hope I'm not outing her on her butterfly tattoo.
Yeah.
I ordered, and she doesn't even know this, so I'm sharing this on this podcast before she's even
breaking news.
Breaking news. I found very large, gorgeous, multicolored butterfly jelly bellies, like gummies. Gummy bears, gummies. Like, they're not gummy bears, they're gummy butterflies. And I am so excited to put those out for her on our dessert buffet, because we always put candy and stuff out. And she said, don't get me hot tamales this year. I eat too many of them. So I didn't get hot tamales, because she loves the little hot tamales. So I got her gummy flies.
Now, lastly, we'll wrap up here, but just as far as effort goes, because, you know, we've got staff behind us who are working on stuff for the present suite. You can hear silverware being wrapped and that kind of stuff. But there is a lot of human effort behind what you guys do, not only for the president suite, but for the fans at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, there is so much effort. You know, Levy, particularly Levy and Restaurant Associates, our partner culinarily here, we fly in managers from all over the country. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that we hire locally to work in the kitchens, as servers, as managers, running all of our restaurants. You know, we have five restaurants. We've got all of the suites. You know, we have 100 suites that we serve guests in. The suites kitchen never stops. It's 24/7. There are people cooking 24 hours, 7 days a week in our suites kitchen. It is a Herculean effort to pull this off, and a tremendous amount of passion. Because, you know, frankly, I ask to come to this tournament every year. And, you know, it's not easy work, but there is such gratification out of it, because people are so, the fans, it's a great fan base. People are so excited. And so there's something about being connected to it that, as a person working behind the scenes, is really gratifying.
Yeah.
Really gratifying.
Well, thank you. Gratified to have you on the podcast. Jennifer Cox, Vice President of Culinary for the Restaurant Group of Levy. And I've got to at least try one of those gummy butterflies.
You absolutely have a gummy butterfly.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks. Thank you.
Well, a big thanks to our guests this week, Chef Billy, Chef Jen, and also 2014 U.S. Open champion Marin Cilic. Now, if you're hungry for more, we're going to come back with lots more great content, delicious content, I should say, on Inside the U.S. Open in coming episodes. But don't forget, if you haven't already, to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Audio Boom, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm Nick McCarville. This has been episode 2 of Inside the U.S. Open. Thanks for joining us.